And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. I'm Michael Lindebaum, along with your favorite Ranger, Mr. Pink, Mr. Ben Taylor.
Hello. I am the Pink Ranger. How you doing, bud?
Doing all right. So we're doing Reign of the Jellyfish and Plague of the Mantis.
Yep. We've got the Snizzard, as played by Bryan Cranston.
Yep.
We've got a bunch of other stuff.
Yep. And as we've been saying on all the other previous recordings and stuff like that, we do apologize for the disjointment between this intro, the main body, and then the outro. Mm-hmm. Due to the things out of our control, we had to redo our intros and outros.
Yeah.
But we hope you enjoy the show.
Yeah. It's just, we get to talk about a jellyfish dude with an umbrella and Trini learning kung fu from a really bad 90s stereotype.
Yep. So with that, we're going to be talking about the Reign of the Jellyfish and Plague of the Mantis. It's a very of the episode, isn't it, Ben?
There's been like this run, like if you look at the Power Rangers titles running up to this and a couple after, not a couple after it, but there's always, it's like the something of the animal, right? It's like something of the, and then an animal, just because I guess that's what they were in the mood for.
Yep. So with that, we're going to start with Reign of the Jellyfish, and we're going to do everyone's favorite segment, in my mind, the quick run through. And we start in class with Miss Appleby, starting off class by talking about the time capsule. The Rangers talk about their items as they place them in. Miss Appleby is asked what she would like to put in, and she puts in a photo of the Power Rangers. However, it should be noted that there is absolutely no context to them whatsoever. So while she's saying that, oh, to let the people know about our great heroes, there's nothing that says that they're actually heroes. They could be villains. And the Rangers have the highest grade, so of course, they get to be the ones to bury the time capsule. Thanks, appropriately placed sign for letting us know where that goes, too, by the way. The putties then attack, and we get more new music, which is awesome, because new music is always great. Then Squad and Babu steal the time capsule unsuccessfully. Then Rita sends a monster, a quote-unquote dangerous one, and then the Rangers morph into action. The Rangers retreat because of the jellyfish's toxic spray, to which then Alpha applies a coat to their suits, and they go back to fight. Because, yeah, when I think of, hey, it's raining outside, let me just spray something on myself, that's what I do. After dispatching the putties, the Rangers dodge the toxic spray, and that poor bench just didn't see it coming. Then the jellyfish sends the Rangers to another dimension, and the Rangers can't take them, but Zack's axe can. Rita then makes the jellyfish grow, and it's Megazord time, and they defeat the monster. Ben, it's time for notes.
Reign of the Jellyfish, a.k.a. the one with all the weird wastes of time. So, did you ever do time capsuling at school?
Yes, I did it in middle school.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Well, when we did our time capsule, it was this big box, and it needed to be sealed and airtight, sealed in concrete. But when Power Rangers thinks time capsule, they think big, flimsy plastic bubble.
Yeah.
So, context here. I've seen this episode once, and it was approximately this time last year, 13 seasons of Power Rangers ago. So when I saw they were going to do the time capsule thing, I paused the video and I wrote down what I thought each of them was going to put in the time capsule, right? Jason, something karate related. Zach, hip-hop music. Billy, something to do with computers. Kim, fashion or clothes. Trini, something lame like a newspaper. Balkan Skull, food. And lo and behold, if I wasn't 6 for 6. Not saying that their personalities are slightly predictable, but their personalities are incredibly predictable. Then we go to the moon. I don't know why I say it like that, but I do. And Rita busts out her monster cookbook. I love this, right?
And we haven't seen it since, like, the early part of the season, too.
Yeah, it's like she just busts out a book, a menu, and she's ordering off, like, the dollar menu while Finster's getting ready to tell her that the McFlurry machine isn't working today. Right? Like,
would you like some putties with that?
Yeah. But it does kind of make sense that that would be how Zordon would know a lot about some of her monsters, because he could just have a copy of the book. Right? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just me.
Well, not only that, but, like, we've seen it in, like, the early part of the season where, like, she's taken monsters out of that book. And Zordon's like, oh, yes, I remember this monster. I encountered him 10,000 years ago. And
so
you did have that before. Why Zordon doesn't go, oh, yeah, I encountered this one like 10,000 years ago as well. And it's like, yeah, well, thanks, Zordon.
So then we get to this, the first of this episode's That's Not How Science Works.
We still headphones. It's okay. He can't hurt you.
For some context, well, the last time that we recorded and I did a That's Not How Science Works, Mike's headphones fell apart. Literally, I watched them snap.
Like you said it so many times, that that's not how science works, and my headphones snapped.
So the power teens are off to bury the time capsule. Right. And as I mentioned before, time capsules need to have certain things. The one that they are it's not airtight. It's not watertight. It's not going to stop gribblies getting into it. They're burying it about 2 feet underground with shovels, which isn't going to do anything. And above all, one of the last episodes I did, right, was Cleanup Crew, if you remember. And that was all about cleaning up pollution. And Billy able to seeming to test it with a single blade of grass in water. Who knew? If you bury this time capsule with all the stuff that's in it, it's going to cause just as much, if not more, ecological damage than the paper they picked up off the ground last time. Especially with, like, the super advanced computer that Billy buried.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
But yeah, like, because I remember, like, with my time capsule, which was with my middle school.
Yeah.
Which I can still walk to because it's still buried.
Yeah.
Like, the school's named after Roberto Clemente, you know, the famous baseball player. So we have stuff in there about Clemente. We have stuff like that we wore at the school for like gym class and yearbook, so you could see what the students were, so you can have context of what some of this other stuff was.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was sealed tight. You had a cement area.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's sealed. It made sure that it wasn't mess up with the environment. And this one, obviously, no, Power Rangers did it wrong on this one. So.
This one.
Yeah.
This one.
With the time capsule.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That's the only time they've got science wrong, right, Mike?
No, not the only time, but...
Good.
I'm glad you
backpedaled on that.
No, I was talking...
You could have been here forever.
I was talking about the time capsule.
Oh,
okay. Like we could go hours upon hours about lots of science wrong.
Also, why is Kim suddenly wearing orange in this scene?
Coloring issues?
Everyone else is wearing the exact same clothes and they look the exact same colors. So it's not a problem with the film. It's just Kim suddenly wearing orange.
Maybe Kim decided to change before they left.
Yeah, maybe she's an Orange Ranger for 20 seconds. I don't know. So then the Putties show up because Rita's got this plan in her brain that she's the one that wants to be remembered by the future. The Putties show up and there's like a 3-second long fight in which Squat and Babu try to steal the time capsule. They're waddling off with it. The Power Rangers beat up the Putties. They're like, we beat you up. And during which we get the new combat song called Combat.
Something like that. I gotta...
I don't know. As I said, the fight songs in Mighty Morphin and a few and many of the other seasons, they're really good. I just started watching SPD, right? And the I made a comment about how awful the intro song is, but yet the background music to the intro song makes excellent fight music. So Ron Wasserman's kicking out the park here in this episode. So after the fight, Scott and Babu are getting confronted by the Rangers and they put down the time capsule and teleport out. Why not just teleport out with the pod? We had to go through this with Goldar and the goddamn green morpher. Teleporting is your friend. And it's going to be coming up a lot in this episode and in the next episode. So Rita's made the jellyfish monster. And he sent it to Angel Grove Park, where Zordon buzzes the team and is like, this thing is in the park. They're already in the park. They should know that. They're there. Jason declares it is morphing time without so much as looking around to seeing if they're being watched. Not a one of them checks to see if anyone's looking. No one. Also, if they're there to bury the time capsule, don't you think they'd have some kind of supervision to make sure they did it? Anyway. So, the jellyfish sting attack, toxic attack, whatever they end up calling it, is apparently so powerful it can penetrate the Ranger's special suits right here in the chest area where all the explosions are. If only one of them had access to some kind of, I don't know, shield that covered the chest area that had been bequeathed to them by another Ranger.
I don't know what you're talking about, Ben.
Something to do with dragons. Man, I seem to remember Jason getting a dragon shield at some point.
No,
would cover that area.
No. Oh, isn't that thing that they used for like 3 episodes after Tommy left?
2 episodes. Yeah.
Thing. Yeah. I don't know what happened to that. That got lost in the abyss somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, well. So the Rangers retreat to the command center to get this coating on their gear that will repel the toxic attack. In our second, that's not how science works. That's not how science works. If you want to make something, if you want to permeate something, you have to soak it, not just spray it, right? Also, Zordon seems to know the jellyfish monster, right? Because it's from the book. So why didn't he pre-warn them about the toxic attack?
Like, he briefs them all the time about other monsters.
Yeah, he's just like,
good luck.
Throws them under the bus. But again, this is the first of those weird segments I talked about in the AKA. It's 60 seconds of them going, we got to retreat, go to the command center, then they go back and they fight the monster, right? It was utterly pointless. You could have just not had the monster's toxic attack penetrate the suits and put in more fight footage, right? So, apparently, according to Trini and the jellyfish's dialogue, he's being accompanied by super putties. The things that we met earlier in the season that when you hit them, they divide, right?
Yep.
So why don't they do that?
So it's actually interesting because Sasha and I have had this conversation before on the show, and they've just have kind of, the super putties have just kind of become regular putties. Yeah, they're just normal putties that have like either the blade or the really expanded hands. Or
the big bowl hands.
Yeah, like they're just kind of like regular putties at this point now.
Yeah. Then just say putties. Don't say super putties.
Like, because we've seen it where they've just said putties and it's like the super putties coming out.
Yeah.
And they're just referred to as putties.
Yeah. I don't know. So then they're fighting the jellyfish again. And the power bow and the power daggers are stopped by an umbrella. Let me say that again. The power bow and the power daggers are stopped by an umbrella.
Who are they fighting? Are they fighting the penguin or a jellyfish?
Have you ever seen what happens when you fire a bow at something?
It kind of goes through it.
Yeah. In our third, that's not how science works of the episode. Then, apparently, this umbrella then also sends the Power Rangers to another dimension. Which they're in for exactly 60 seconds. Before Billy goes, just shoot the power axe, we'll get out, it'll be fine. I'm sorry, and I was like, excuse me, what? You can fire the power axe without the rest of the power weapons? Why does not Zach do this all of the time?
Yeah. Especially the fact that it is the actual canon portion of the Power Blaster.
Yeah.
Which, wait, hold on. Is it the Power Blaster or the Mega Blaster? I can't tell. They keep changing what it's called every freaking time they use it.
Right. But it was another 60-second cutaway, right? Both of the putty fights in this episode, the one when they're morphed and the one when they're not morphed, a total of about 10 seconds, right?
Yeah.
Take the 2 minutes that you wasted going to the command center and you wasted in the other dimension and do longer putty fights. Like, one of the things that people want to see in in Power Rangers in general, things like unmorphed fights, right? Because it's what wasn't around at the time. You didn't have action like that on TV, really. It's one of the things that that contributed to the success of Power Rangers, right? Like, anyway, they escape from the dimension and Rita makes her monster grow. And I don't know why it is, but we'll see this again with the Mantis episode. I always seem to get the episodes where Rita makes her monster grow when they're winning. It's weird. It's absolutely weird.
She's not a good tactician.
Not the greatest tactician, no.
No.
And then we have our full Zord summoning footage, including some solo Zord fighting action. The Triceratops and the Sabertooth Tiger shoot at the thing. It gets deflected off its umbrella. But then the Mastodon freezes the jellyfish. Sure. Then we get a weird abridged Megazord sequence to continue the weird amount of padding in the episode. It's just a weird kind of sequence. Then we get to the Megazord fight. And the Megazord is trying to get to the jellyfish, and the jellyfish is doing its best Nightcrawler impression, and it's bamfing around. It's like... and just getting out of the way. So why does it stand still and take the finishing move? It stands still. It's like,
all right, get the power sword. All right, jellyfish, we need to stand still for a moment, please.
Yeah, just
stay right there.
Hammer time. This is also one of the Megazord fights. Sometimes when they do a Megazord fight and they call down the Power Sword, they have the Power Sword modeled into large hands for the Megazord, right? But this is one of the times where when it's holding the Megazord and doing the fight, it's got normal human hands just with black gloves on.
And they're tiny.
And
not only that, but there are also times, depending on how the sword comes to them, too. Yeah. There's two versions of how the sword comes to them.
Yeah.
Version one is actually the sword comes down into the ground. And for whatever reason, the Megazord goes to grab the sword and does a stupid thing where it goes for with one hand, goes, no, 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 not with this hand.
Yeah.
And then goes with the other hand and grabs with the other hand. The second time, it actually just comes directly to the hand.
Yeah.
So the question is, one... when the sword comes to the ground, why do you go with the wrong hand, stupid?
Yeah.
First, because you just took away like 5 seconds right there for yourself. And two, why doesn't it just come to your hand automatically every freaking time?
Eh. But yeah, it was just weird because it's all of a sudden the Megazord's got teeny tiny hands. Finish a move. And then Rita gets a headache. And we get our message of the week, which is as the Power Rangers stand around and muse on what they hope the future will be like, with no war, no prejudice, etc., etc., etc. And all we have to do is work together and be kind. This episode is like full of really weird padding. There's more laughing at Bulk and Skull's misfortune. And again, as I always do, I ask who are really the bullies at this point. But it's not. This episode is just full of weird padding and pacing. And a disappointing lack of unmorphed fighting. I really enjoy unmorphed fighting. I mean, Michael attests to this. Like I said, I just started watching SPD, right? And our little group chat on Powered Orcs, and after that first unmorphed fight between the five members of SPD, I was just like, that was amazing. But yeah. Also, speaking of SPD, SPD and Time Force really I don't know whether SPD deliver on this. They probably won't. But they've missed out on an opportunity to not dig this time capsule up in the future. Time Force really missed out on that.
Well, keep in mind that Time Force doesn't happen in Angel Grove.
But it doesn't matter, right? Like, they could have an episode where they go to Angel Grove.
Yeah, because...
Right? They could get a message from the future, which is like, there's a special thing buried in Angel Grove. You have to go get it or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, even Operation Overdrive, they go to Angel Grove for like 30 seconds just to get a box, right? Like,
yeah, because like I think the last true time we ever see Angel Grove is Lost Galaxy.
Operation Overdrive.
Oh, they do? I don't remember. I only watched
the Operation Overdrive. In the crossover in Operation Overdrive, when Adam comes back, they go to Angel Grove and they pull Alpha out of a box.
Mm. Yeah, see, I've only seen that episode, that season once, so.
Yeah.
When I get there, we'll get there. But
which is going to be a long time. Anyway, that's my notes for Reign of the Jellyfish,
which ran a total of 19 minutes and 4 seconds with a 6.8 out of 10 score on the IMDb. Which now brings us to, all right, let's replace that first word to from rain to plague of, and then replace that last word with jellyfish to mantis to have plague of the mantis. Wow, that was really lazy but easy at the same time. So here's the quick run through at the.
I'm out.
And now it is time to do Plague of the Mantis. Quick run through. We're at the youth center and Trini is.
Hang on a minute. Give yourself some credit. What segment is this?
This is everyone's favorite segment in my mind.
There we go.
In my mind. You know, all like negative 6,000 listeners that we have. So yeah, we're at the youth center. Trini is practicing with her master. However, Trini is having difficulties perfecting praying mantis style. At the woods, Trini morphs to fight a mantis monster in one-on-one combat because she decided to go out to the woods randomly to just be by herself. The others arrive and the mantis retreats and shunning Trini at the same time. Because, oh, you don't have honor. You can't fight me one-on-one. Back at the youth center, Trini trains, then gets a message that, and leaves. She goes looking for her master and meets Mantis instead. The others look for Trini and see the note she received. While Trini faces Mantis, the others fight Putties, and the Mantis sends Putty to fight Trini. The others morph into action and aid Trini. Makes Mantis grow. It's Zora time. The Rangers win. And then back at the youth center, the Rangers are back on the news. Bulk and Skull do cockroach kung fu to their embarrassment. That's it. That's really the run through. There wasn't a lot to run through on this episode outside the key points of it was about honor. And, you know, it's interesting that a bad guy would shame a good guy about having honor and then not showing honor themselves.
Yeah. So this is Plague of the Mantis, AKA another boring Trini episode where the good guy is stupid. My first point is, hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Why do I keep getting the Trini centric episodes?
Cause it's just how it
ends
up. It's okay. The next episode that we're doing,
She's such a waste of a character because she has no real personality of her own. She has no real evolve.
I kind of disagree. Like whenever she's really paired up with Billy, she's really great with Billy. She does that thing.
Say that again. When she is
with Billy.
Okay. And when I said she has no personality of
herself,
her own, when she's on her own, she's just there. She's just exists. And everything else about her is a casual 90s stereotype of Asian people. Anyway, the episode opens once, as is somewhat tradition at this point, with one of our rangers practicing martial arts in the juice bar. Only this time, it's Trini. And she's learning from someone we've never met before, and the other rangers are treating it like it's a big deal. Why not have this be her super famous uncle scientist guy that they introduced 30 odd episodes ago, who can do everything, but then is never mentioned again.
Because he's a visible, so we're beating up on bullies.
Also, this dude teaches a very specific form of kung fu, right? Mantis style kung fu. And it seems like he really knows what he's talking about. So how does Trini, of all people, secure a one-on-one lesson?
Friends of the family?
Also, this could have been a really interesting thing. If, like, for a couple of episodes, they'd had Trini being really excited that Master Li was coming into town, and or having to try and find someone to teach her this specific form of kung fu, right? But instead, there's no build-up. There's no nothing. It's just there. Then he's like, there, she's having a problem with this one very specific kata. And he's like, take a physical rest. I will test your mind. And he asks her something. And she says, in Kung Fu, we honor the tradition of a fair fight, equal numbers. This is going to be kind of the source of the episode, really. This kind of set never made sense to me, right? In competition martial arts, fair enough, right? However, if you're in a fight for the survival of the planet, you dogpile your opponent, you kill them as quickly as possible. Plain and simple, right? There's a certain point where... Anyway, to help you master mantis-style kung fu, I brought this, he says. And he pulls a mantis in a plastic
box. Plastic, like a, one of those insect
It's a plastic pet carrier, right?
Yeah.
That has weird bamboo sticks to stick glued all over it to make it look more mystical. And proceeds to show it to her for like 3 seconds. What good is that going to do? She's seen it for like 3 seconds. And I said,
Yeah. You're thinking really hard on this one.
just read it and I say, of course, Rita makes a mantis monster. What else would we expect? Right? And then the reason why I had to stop is I've got two notes that start with of course, and I was trying to pass which one was in which order. Because the next order is, of course the Asian master's name is Master Li. Casual 90s racism! At which point, Trini says, it's so difficult, Master. And the master says, that just means you have to work harder to perfect it. Yes, that's what being hard means. You aren't deep by saying that. You aren't sounding knowledgeable by saying that. You're just pointing out the freaking obvious. Demetria all over again. But first, is Master Li Demetria? Who knows? We learn, apparently, that Zach doesn't like bugs. It's a quite interesting little thing. And then Kim, because Trini's been given the bug to study, right? And Kim says, wow, double duty. Math homework and martial arts homework. And I say, as I pointed out before, the Rangers pay way more than double duty. School, homework, charity work, sports, learning martial arts, teaching martial arts, hanging out at the juice bar, eating, sleeping, oh, and defending the earth. And that's all just in the last 3 episodes.
Yep.
So apparently, and we're still in like the first 3 minutes of the episode at this point, I'd like to point out. Of a how long an episode?
20 minutes and 20 seconds.
Yeah. So Jason asks Trini why she wants to learn this new kung fu, right? And Trini says, apparently, the reason Trini wants to learn the Mantis style is that it emphasizes playing fair and not cheating in a competition, which is a real challenge to live up to. No, it's not. It's how literally everybody should play martial art, any kind of competition, how normal people do it. It's not a challenge at all. It's a challenge to cheat. Also, if that's what it exposits and that's what it focuses on, why did Master Lee, when he gave you the stick figure, the mantis to study, say that what there is to learn is that mantis is always at peace but ready to defend itself? Those two things don't work together. So Trini is practicing in the park. She gets a buzz from Zordon saying, there's a monster in the park. You are the closest. You should look at it. They have teleportation. Nobody is the closest with sight-to-sight teleportation. That's not how that works. And speaking of not how things work, this is not how science works. Zordon's viewing globe and sensors are the single most changeable thing in all of the early seasons of Power Rangers. One minute he knows exactly what the name of a monster is, where it is, what it's doing, what it had for breakfast, what it posted on MySpace. It's pulled up its Twitter wall. It's seen its Facebook posts. He knows its best friends. He knows its kinks. He knows what kind of things. He knows what sports teams it supports. He knows what kind of size of shoes it wears. And he knows what its breath smells like. And at other times, he's like, there might be a monster in the park. I don't know.
And you just really made Zordon like the ultimate stalker.
But he is. Like, he knows all this stuff at one time, at sometimes, and at other times, he's more clueless than Alicia Silverstone. That's a reference a lot of people might not get. We are old, aren't we?
Yeah.
Anyway,
I got the reference though, because yeah. I actually enjoy that movie.
So Trini morphs when she sees the mantis and suddenly starts doing a bunch of backflips and martial arts moves and just all kinds of special moves in an attempt to make her look like kind of a badass. It doesn't work. Because there's no one looking at her. She does all these moves, and then the mantis steps out behind a tree, like, whatever. So the other rangers show up. There's a small fight between Trini and the mantis. I need to take a drink, I'm sorry.
Yep, nope, not a problem.
And the other rangers show up. And Trini's all like, we must watch out for his kung fu. And I'm like, what kung fu? All he's done is wildly swing at you while you roll out of the way. There is no kung fu to be shown. This is where the mantis says, you cheated. You called your friends. You have no honor. And Trini says, he's right. I'm afraid. And I'm like, no. A, you didn't call them. They just showed up. B, he's not right at all. And C, how are you afraid? You've never said any words since the thing shown up. Or shown any emotions. In the series. Ever. You're a waste of space. Oh. She might be the biggest waste of space in the history of the show. No, wait, that's Rocky. Is it? I don't know.
We'll find out.
Anyway. So we cut to the moon at this point, and according to Rita, the mantis has shamed Trini and she will be forced to face it alone. And I'm like, no, because Trini said the playing fair thing was about competition. This isn't a competition. It's the face of the earth. It would have been more felt. We cut to the command center and Trini's pacing and says, it would have been more honorable to face him alone. I'm like, no, it would have been more stupid. This is a giant alien space bug made of clay that is bent on destroying the planet. I don't get it. I've never understood this outlook. And then Kimberly decides it was time to open her mouth and says something stupid, where she says, after Billy says, perhaps the man has challenged Trini because she is the most knowledgeable in Kung Fu amongst us. And Kimberly says, yeah, if he takes her out, he'll have a easier time with the rest of us. You have numbers, training, expertise in other forms of martial arts, weapons, guns, interplanetary wizards in the tube, robots, giant zords, and dinosaurs on your side. I think you'll be just fine. So then we have the segment where Trini goes, I must challenge train extra hard. We get to see her do the same kata over and over again for a minute. Rita teleports in the message. Trini runs off. The Rangers come in to find her. And they're like, oh, she's gone to the old quarry. And run off. I point out again, the Rangers have access to site-to-site teleportation. Why are they running anywhere? Now, I can understand in their everyday lives they want to maintain cover to be seen walking places. But wouldn't the life of one of the other Rangers may be on the line, you get there as quickly as possible.
I think part of it's like, well, A, they're in the juice bar, which, by the way,
you can leave the juice bar, then teleport. Yeah. Also, they've teleported from the juice bar before. They just went round a corner.
Which I was about to say, that has not the most secure place to hide your identity.
Right. So Trini and the Mantis have a fight using zero Mantis style kung fu. None. Why build it up to be a thing and then not do anything with it? Especially when during the fight, Trini is actually fighting with claw shaped hand strikes, like she's using a cat style of kung fu, right? Yes, it makes sense because Sabretooth Tiger, right? But why not have the episode be the master she's learning from is Tiger-style Kung Fu, and you build up the rivalry between Tiger-style Kung Fu and Mantis-style Kung Fu when the fight-style footage you have is of Tiger-style Kung Fu? So, while this is going on, the other Rangers who are running to the quarry, I would like to point out, get jumped by putties. At the same time, the Mantis shows that he has no honor. Duh. And also summons putties on Trini. The Rangers morph, and all of the putties go away. They just disappear. They're not around anymore. They've just gone.
They're just like, nah. Now we're like, done.
Peace. We're going to Hawaii.
You morphed. We're out.
We're peace. Going to Disneyland. One of the putties is like, I'm going to ride me some Star Wars rides. Someone else is like, I'm going to go to Magic Kingdom. I want to meet me some Mickey Mouse.
It's better than getting beat up by the Power Rangers.
Right? So then the Punnies just disappear and leave the Mantis 5v1. We also get another case of Rita growing the Mantis when she's winning, which is, again, weird to me. Because every other time, like, I seem to be the one that gets these episodes, and I don't know what it is. Then we get the full Zord summoning sequence combined with the locking in the crystals to pad out the episode. If only they'd had an opportunity to do an extended unmorphed putty fight. Oh, wait, they did. The Zord fight is utterly unremarkable. It's usual Zord fight stuff. The Megazord gets beat up for a while, but once they summon the sword, they're invincible. And the bad guy stands still to take the finisher. And then that's kind of it for the episode. Bulk and Skull try to do their cockroach stuff and get laughed at. Who are the bullies? You ask me. I say the Rangers. It's also worth noting that every single piece of training we saw of Trini in this episode for this expansive, utterly difficult, incredibly hard martial art was the same kata over and over and over again. It was one set of moves. That's not how you learn a martial art, dude. And that is my notes for this episode, aka Plague of the Mantis, aka another boring Trini episode where the good guy is stupid.
And Plague of the Mantis clocked in at 20 minutes and 20 seconds, almost like a way of saying that it was going to be reviewed in 2020. That joke landed better with Sasha.
I was going to say it's about as popular as everything that's happened this year.
Okay, fair. And you're not going to like this, but Plague of the Mantis got a 7.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
Who's reviewing this? Who? Are these people stupid? Are they putting... And I don't mean to be disrespectful here, but are they putting people with absolutely no sense of vision or hearing in front of these episodes and just letting them judge them? There is no way you think this is a 7.9 out of 10.
7.6, but yeah. So
this isn't even a 5.
So
this is one of the worst filler episodes in the history of the show. The pizza episode is better than this. I'm biased because I actually kind of love that episode. But
Ben, you know what's really interesting about how things got scheduled out for the recordings of these episodes?
Don't say it.
So you got to do the first two episodes where they got rid of Tommy.
Yeah.
You just did the last two episodes before Tommy comes back. I'm so sorry.
Next you're going to tell me that I'm reviewing the episodes where he comes back.
We'll keep that in tail.
I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. You can't make me. I'm not doing it. If I don't review the episodes where he comes back, he'll never come back. He'll stay gone. The history of Power Rangers will change forever. I have belief.
So with that, Ben, where can the people...
Dino Thunder will be the excellent season that it should have been instead of the really good season it was. The entire Ninja Steel cast won't get overshadowed by Tommy showing up for two episodes. Power Rangers will no longer be the Tommy Oliver show featuring the Power Rangers, even when he's not in the...
All right, and everybody, that was Reign of the Jellyfish and Plague of the Mantis. Ben is hands in face, or face in hands, because Ben knows what's up next.
I'm not doing it, Mike.
I'm not doing it.
We have to do it.
I'm not doing it.
We need to have
an
episode.
I refuse.
We need to have an episode 23.
Right, but I'm not doing it. I took Tommy Oliver out of Voices from the Grid continuity. If I don't do Return of an Old Friend, he's never coming back. Ever. I can change the timeline. And if Time Force have a problem with that, they can fight me. I can make sure Tommy Oliver never comes back. Dino Thunder could be the best series it was supposed to be. The Ninja Steel Rangers won't get shown up by one episode like 24 years from now. Like, if I don't bring him back, Power Rangers is better. And Adam Park can finally be recognized as the best ranger.
It's okay, buddy. It'll be all right.
Can he just stay gone?
Hey, Ben, where can the people find you on social medias?
I'm not doing it, Mike. Fine. Let's do the outros. You can find me on Twitter at
Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find me once every 2 weeks over at
txhthockey.com/awesomemania.
You can find me every 2 weeks on a Monday at
txhthockey.com/VFTG for Ben's Journey.
Doing my Ben's Journey columns where I document my thoughts on each season of Power Rangers. They come out every other Monday. Again, these season one episodes of Voices from the Grid have been pre-recorded, so I have no idea what column is due to come out when or if or near when this is released. So you'll have to bear with me on that one. And you can find me doing the video game thing over at
twitch.tv/321_TV
with my good and dear friend Jordan, Mr. NMJ Johnson, doing video games with all and sundry of our friends that decide to stop by. And if you want to know what we're playing and when we're going live, give me a follow on the old Twitters.
And then, of course, you can find me on the Twitters at TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at Facebook.com/X75Productions, and everything else that I do up on txhdhockey.com, and for this show specifically, /VFTG, which is short for Voices from the Grid.
Yar.
So with that, Mr. Pink Ranger, take us out.
I'm not doing it.
Take us
out. I'm not bringing him back.
I'm not asking you to bring him back right now. I'm asking you to take us out.
I'm going to have to, like, see if I can contractually obligate myself out of that episode, because I'm not doing it. However adamant I am about not bringing Tommy Oliver back, I am adamant that guys, gals, and non-aligned pals, in the words of the 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. A party on non-gender-specific honorifics.
And with that, until next time, grab your morphers and may the power protect you.